It's finally here.
This is the episode that we've been waiting for.
We've been waiting for. I need some fucking answers around here. So
I feel like we've talked about this so much and we're like, we'll save it for the episode. We'll save it for the episode. And now I'm like, what?
I know. We have a full anthology.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, Sable's putting out a book.
Yes.
At press time, it is a week away. Is that right? This comes out Tuesday.
Yes.
This next. Okay.
At press time, this episode will come out on my birthday. Hilarious.
Yes. And then is it your actual birthday?
I know. I legit forgot about it. And then I was scheduling things because my book launch is July 9th, a week after my birthday. And I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot the week before that is my birthday.
Oh, the week before the book launch is your birthday. That makes more sense. Because I know your birthday is always around the 4th of July because I'm always wasted. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I can't forget. Okay, yes.
Hooray.
When you listen to this episode, as that creepy bitch from The Ring would say, her book comes out in seven days. So you better smash that pre-order button. I'm not playing with you.
Yes.
I know we have thousands of listeners. I better see thousands of pre-orders.
There's only 240 bottles.
I'm talking about the book, girl.
Oh, the book. Yeah, yeah. Or pre-order the book, please. Please.
Getting on the New York Times bestseller list, whether you like it or not.
Please pre-order. It helps me to succeed.
I'm in my Kris Jenner bag right now.
Yeah, I feel like most authors, I don't fucking clue. I've only done this one time, not even. A lot of authors will have pre-order incentives. I don't have that because I'm poor. But what I do have is this goddamn perfume that I'm going to raffle an undisclosed number of to all the pre-order baddies. So if you have pre-ordered, I will set up a raffle where you can send in proof of pre-order, be entered into a raffle to win a bottle of this perfume that we have painstakingly created for you.
I love it. My
brilliant marketing idea.
I feel like we're cooking.
We are cooking.
Do you want to get the question out the way first?
Let's get it out of the way.
Sable.
Yes.
Do you want to go first? Okay.
Tynan.
What are you wearing?
I don't know if I want
to. Are we just going to talk about your scent?
I'm not wearing my scent today.
Oh, well, I am.
Okay, fine. Then Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I am wearing Die Hot with a Vengeance, the debut fragrance by Sable Young. I have been, it's Wednesday right now. You gave it to me on Saturday, the last time we recorded, and I've been wearing it since. And man, you really did that.
Good,
just
right?
In full transparency, you really did that. And I've not been on this journey with you, but I've been in your little sidecar hearing about it. And you talk a lot about concept, and I am more of a note guy just in general, but also in this. And I've been hearing the ideas, and then closer to you locking it, I've been hearing more about the notes and what notes made what mods different, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And God damn it, not that I expected anything differently, and I think anything you'd create would be brilliant, but this is really it.
I'm very pleased with it. It's funny because honestly, and we do talk about this later in our interview, I feel like it's not what I expected it to be, but I'm also way more pleased with the way it turned out.
Really? I didn't have a specific expectation of this, but this sort of I don't know how to say it. I am pleasantly surprised. It is what I expected. It just feels like you. It's smoky, but not in a way that we usually think of smoky. It's like cigarette smoke, and almost even stale cigarette smoke,
where
it's not like offensive anymore, but someone was smoking, but it's like that. And the interior of a designer purse, like you get that really old beat up suede. There is a little bit of that old makeup smell, and there's definitely, it's, I don't know, like a neon sign and maraschino cherry.
Yeah.
Like,
ooh, neon sign. That's a good one. Yeah.
There's also, it gives like hair salon in maybe the 90s and early 2000s, because it's like a big puff of hot, fragranced air that's like hairspray and aerosol. Maybe a little acetone too. It's very all of that, but it is so fun and so beautiful. And it's sort of like bad girl vibes, but nighttime, but not too much of really anything. And the wear of it too is, I mean, you nailed the scent, but you also nailed the wear, which are two different things.
Yeah.
You know, this one clings, but doesn't weigh you down, and you will still smell it the next morning.
Yes.
And I find that after a good 8 hours of wear, it gets really like red velvety. Like there
Yes.
is a chocolate note that shows itself at the end. I'm sure Joey would be like, no, there's not. But there is on me at least. And I know, again, that things pull different on me than they do on you. But man, this is good. I just want to say congratulations to Sable Young for this incredible award-winning fragrance. I'm giving it the Fragrance of the Year award. And yeah, it's incredible.
Thank you. It's funny because like I can't take full, I can't even take a like most credit for this because it's truly like the perfumer's work, Joey Rosen, aka Hoax Parfum. And visually, this aligns so much with what I had in store, with what I had in mind. I think scent wise, I'm like surprised by it. I'm pleasantly surprised by it, but visually, I'm like, yes, you nailed it. It's that. The cigarette ash, like stale cigarette ash, which I know sounds off-putting, but trust me, it's a textural thing. It's not like what it actually smells like. The maraschino cherry juice, I feel like it's a little bit of the sticky, like you know the jar that maraschino cherries come in and has like the cherry water, the cherry juice. It's like the sticky residue of that's clinging to like the mahogany bar counter or the bar top. It's like a neon motel sign or like hot wet asphalt on a summer night. Smeared lipstick on suede, a leather handbag that you've spilled red wine and a grapefruit cocktail in. It sounds messy, but like,
It is messy in a good way, though. It's tight,
it's
but
messy in a fun way.
it's like the concept is messy, but the execution is tight.
Yes. Yes, I'll agree with you there. And ultimately, I'm sure the more people smell it, the more ideas they'll have. But to me, I'm like, that's what I had in mind was just like an escapade.
It also has, maybe this is me, but it also has a little bit of this like sweaty sweetness, like when you take off a button down. Maybe I'm wrong. I just got home
I
from
like
work.
that.
Who knows? Yeah, it's
It smells
gorgeous.
like a fun girls' night out if your definition of fun is doing crimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I think of it as, and I love it. I'm trying to think of who like cinematically does like the movie Drive. Cinematically,
Yeah.
it's like that if Sofia Coppola did a remake of Drive.
I think it's like the Cool for the Summer video by Demi Lovato.
Oh my God, I haven't seen
But
that. I'll have to see that.
don't watch it. You'll disagree with me and be
Okay.
offended. But love your description of it. I love it. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, I don't fucking care what I smell like today. Okay, so I'm having another bout of weird allergy inflammation. So I'm just like, bah.
No.
It gives and it taketh away. We're in the midst of handling it, but I
Zyrtec doesn't give with both hands.
truly it does not. I got this in the mail today. Ooh,
The hell is that?
it is a Tory Burch scent to my surprise. It is like the most interesting bottle I've seen in a long time.
Bottle is gorgeous. That bottle is gorgeous.
What shape is this?
Glass.
Like hockey pucks stacked on one another? In clear glass?
It looks like, yeah, that are like glass coasters.
Thick glass coasters stacked on one another. This very sculptural cool shape. It's called Sublime by Tory Burch. And then the cap is a silver orb with the Tory Burch. And mind you, I can only smell about 30% of this, but it's a pleasant citrus, sweet citrusy scent. It being a designer fragrance, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, that smells exactly the way I thought it would smell. It's nice. Of the
Sick
third,
bottle, though. I'll give him a
sick
generic
bottle.
scent with a good ass bottle.
That's why when the publicist reached out to me to send it, I was like, yeah, send it. That bottle looks cool. I don't remember what notes they called out. I think there's like grapefruit something. The notes. A vibrant floral leather. Oh, that's probably why I was intrigued by it. I was like, floral leather, tell me more. It has mandarin essence, urban ivy accord, upcycled peach, upcycled rose, osmanthus absolute, magnolia accord, tethered leather accord. I don't know how you tether an accord, but okay. And patchouli and vetiver essence. So I had no idea what to expect by reading those. I feel like the scent itself is like a lot more subdued and very smooth. It's like a very, it reminds me of one of those like fancy sparkling water brands that like everyone's launching these days. But like a peach flavor, like a sparkling peach, but it's like a like peach with no sugar added. because it's like fresher and there's a little bit of greenness to it. I feel like they definitely launched it at the right time of year for summer.
Yep.
The bottle is so freaking cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is probably the first Tory Burch scent I've smelled. I feel like the brand is doing, they're really making a push with their fragrances lately.
Yeah, remember, I think it was 2 years ago when they really tried to make that like set of five happen that I think was for layering and they were okay.
I haven't smelled any of those, but again, the bottles looked
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So good for them. Good for Tory Burch.
Good for them.
Cool bottle. I wish I could fully smell the scent. TBD on that.
Your smell will be back, I promise you.
Yeah. I'm like seeing is it functional medicine practitioner or functioning medicine practitioner?
Functional. Whatever.
Functional. Okay. I'm seeing imagine medicine being functional. Well,
imagine
anyway,
my brain being functional.
Yeah. I'm seeing one of those. So I'm waiting to hear back what lies in my blood. I got 15 vials of blood taken last week.
Jesus. Where'd you go?
Quest Diagnostics.
Where?
You know, anyone who's gotten blood taken knows they do a little thingy in your elbow crook. And then there's like a little hose and they stick each vial. And she just kept sticking vial after vial. And I was like, how many of these are there? And she was like, you're getting a lot of tests. And I was like,
Jesus.
And I counted them. I'm like, there's 15 of them. Good gravy.
Jesus Christ. Like, you need to leave any of it in?
And like, no crackers, no juice offered at the end of that.
Damn, I'd have passed out on a spite.
Luckily, I'm so apparently full of blood that I didn't even feel that. But Jesus.
I love that.
Yeah. I was like, stupidly didn't think about that. I was like, oh, I should maybe bring a snack if I'm like lightheaded or something. But luckily it didn't happen. But I was like, yep, probably should have thought that. Anyway, TBD on my test results.
Back into it.
So this episode is all about the Die Hot with a Vengeance, the perfume that I have created with Hoax Parfum. What I feel like I'm still in the midst of it. I'm doing the whole goddamn thing. Save for the actual perfume juice that obviously
you're doing that too. It's a group effort.
Like, I was the creative director on that one, but I don't fucking know how perfume formulas get made despite us being in the fragrance industry. Like, even just like looking at like the names of things, it sounds like just like chemical ingredients, like ethyl methyl blah blah blah, blah. I'm like, huh? And then my perfumer would be like, yeah, that's the scent of cacao, and I'm like, what? Just say the common name, please. But as of press time, I'm still awaiting my cartons, aka the box that the bottle goes into so I can send it somewhere. That's the last thing in the air. But other than that, I currently have in my living room 241 bottles of this perfume.
Pull up.
I never want to have a brand. After this was so exciting and so quote unquote fun to do, but at the same time, being the operations and the creative and the finances sucks.
The operations part is where you lose me. I could do creative and I whatever finances, but like all that shit that you had to source independently of the other pieces, nightmare vibes.
Especially if you aren't making a ton of it. If you have small quantities, you're fucked.
Right.
No one in America, there are no good caps in America. There are no good bottles in America.
I'm actually surprised your run is as tight as it is. And then you were able to do that. And I'm happy you were. Yeah. But
I mean, this is like the age of Amazon Prime. I was like, of course we can get whatever quantities of whatever, but that's simply untrue.
Mm.
I mean, shout out to Alibaba, who did supply a lot of the things, namely the bottles and the cartons. I was really up in the air about bottle design. I'm really glad that I got into my head that like, I love the look of like black glass, onyx looking shiny lacquered glass, which normally would be really expensive to do, to have like color treated glass. But I just found a vendor on Alibaba who just had it in stock. They were playing.
Nice.
It came with these orb caps, which I was like, it's gotta be an orb, duh. And I was like, wow, that's almost exactly what I was looking for. Thank you so much. But very few vendors will sell you stuff under 500 units. And even 500 is considered the bottle. I'm incapable of asking people for help. So I did the sourcing. I did the bottle design. I did the photography. I did the creative commercial.
Hell yeah.
I did it all. And I'm not a control freak. Or at least I don't identify as a control freak. I just am really bad at time management. And if I wanted help, which I could have, we know so many cool creative people, that would have done an amazing job. I just waited too long to ask them. And then I think at this point it's, hey, can you design a bottle for me in 3 weeks? No, that's not appropriate to ask. And especially if I like was like, I'm self-financing this, so I don't have a huge budget to pay you. So that's so therefore
it doesn't look like anything was skimped on. You know what I mean? Like
no.
The first thing I held it on my hands, I was like, damn.
The label obviously was like really important. I didn't know what to do with that. I played around with some things, but I think because we're so perfume minded, I just had all of these existing designs in my head. And then it was actually after I had gone to that Givaudan Haute Parfumerie event and they reintroduced me to the Fracas bottle that I was like, oh, that lilac pink on black glass, that's such a good look. But I like the idea of it being like a hand scribble or like a hand-drawn
idol. Like a note on a napkin.
Like a note on a napkin, yeah. This looks chaotically stylish enough that it gets the point across of what's potentially inside the bottle. But yeah, so it was just like me writing the title several times on like my iPad just to get the perfect type. And yeah, sending it to a screen printer. We found an amazing screen printer in Pittsburgh who, as expensive as it was still the cheapest price. Yeah, the printing cost more than the bottles, believe it or not. But they did such a good job that I was like, you know what, worth every penny.
It really is.
Self-funding is, I'm glad that we have, I think because we constantly are just like, money is fake. It's like already in my head. And I just have to be like, it's fake. It's not real.
Girl, your we there was pretty strong. Money is very real to me.
That is true. Yeah. You're a lot better about securing the bag than I am.
Now hold on.
Yeah. I have a very, that's what the money is for attitude when it comes to paying for things.
That's fair.
Which
that's
is
fair.
Like exactly what it is. But
yeah.
Yeah. In my head, I was like, it's a tax write-off. It's a tax write-off. I had to keep saying that to myself.
I love that.
But yeah, it was like surprisingly doable. It did not bankrupt me. It could have, but it didn't. I think if I sourced everything locally, it absolutely would have. Having made a fragrance, I have so much more galaxy brain or like cerebro brain about what goes into making it. So now I'm like, there really are so many components and facets to getting a juice made, getting it in a bottle, getting the bottle on the shelves, blah, blah, blah. And now I understand how fucking expensive caps are to make or order. Wow. Whenever the perfume is so expensive, I'm like, yeah, because everything's expensive about making perfume. Now I know. I don't know. What else?
I think we just get into it.
We could just get into it. Yeah.
You know?
We've been talking about doing this episode for ages. We have today my perfumer, Joey Rosen, on the pod. It's a sweet story because the reason that I had him do my perfume is because he listened to the pod. So finally, we'll keep it short on the intro.
I don't think that was short.
My name is Joey Rosen, and I'm an independent perfumer, and I occasionally also play music.
And Joey, what do you smell like today?
Oh, that's a great question. I smell like a lot of things that I've been working on today, which were some really yucky, seaweedy type of oceanic smells. And then leaving the studio, I decided to put on Absinthe by Headspace, which has been my months-long obsession fragrance.
You were telling me about them. They have the little bottles that kind of look like the manufacturer perfumer vials when they get when they order materials.
Yeah, they look like the little bottles that you get when you go to perfume school. And they look really big and enormous in 30 ml and 100 ml sizes. But yeah, it's a fragrance by Nicolas Boyau, and it's just super green and bitter and unusual, but also very wearable. And it's not something that I feel crazy putting on when it's so hot.
Ooh.
So it's palatable in the heat. It's very important at this time of year.
Is it? Can you describe it a little bit?
I was actually thinking, because I knew this question was coming. And this is one of those fragrances that's so well blended. But to my nose, I get like this very bitter cognac-y type of thing. It's very effervescent. There's like, I feel like there's galbanum in there. It's like woody and it has this sparkly thing, but not the way that citruses are sparkly. It's got this own, it's a very interesting presentation of the smell green, like of a green smell.
Ooh.
It's not fresh cut grass. It's not like green citruses. It's not green fruits like pear or apple. It's just like this, it's this sparkly. It feels like an exploration of galbanum, but I know it's not. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my best way to describe it.
Wow. That sounds like really fascinating, honestly. And obviously it's inspired by absinthe, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So the Headspace, they, yeah, like Sable said, they all their things look like they're little perfumery things. And Headspace is a technology in perfume where you look at the smell around a given object. Mm-hmm. And it's also like a play. I'm giving Headspace a huge plug right now, but I really love, for what it's worth, I really love their tuberose and I really love their absinthe, both done by, like I said, Nicolas Boyot. But it's also changing your own Headspace. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I love that.
That's double meaning there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a subscriber to the idea of like seasonal scents?
I'd say no, but then it's like hot as shit. And I can't even imagine putting on anything that has a note amber or like certain woods or tobacco. Like it's just, it's almost, I almost get so warm that I'm like, there's no, I don't want anything. I don't want to smell anything. I don't want to smell the street. I don't want to smell the sewer. I don't want to smell, but generally, no. In the winter, I think anything goes. In the summer, I think you got to make a few considerations for your other people that are going to be around you.
That's fair. That's fair. I feel like that's true. I feel like winter, you can wear everything. And then summer is the only one where people are going to get annoyed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's nothing worse than being like smacked by like any type of smell when you're sweating and on the subway or wherever.
I think also it's because at least here in the city, you have to remember that whatever you smell is going to intermingle with the garbage water on the street and just
big
the
time.
Smell big the smells time. Of the city.
Joey, we've been more or less indirectly talking about you quite a bit over the last few months because we've been getting updates about Sable's debut scent, Die Hot with a Vengeance. And we just wanted to not only talk about that, but talk about you. I mean, we're fascinated by the fact that you are an independent perfumer. So we want to hear all about that. But I think we should start at the beginning. Maybe the obvious question is, were you always interested in scent and fragrance? And what were some scents that you wore growing up or influenced you?
So it's kind of weird. As I mentioned, I historically in my life, I guess you'd say I haven't been a perfumer. I'm a trained musician and fragrance and smell has a key to me and very important. I grew up when Axe was big, like many people in their late 20s. I remember seeing Axe for the first time in a hockey locker room, like a dad sprayed down a bag and I was like, oh, that's the thing. But growing up, there was never like a smell in the house. The only smells in the house were actually like cooking smells. And my mom's a really big cook. So there's always food happening, but there wasn't like, there was no Glade wall plug-in. There was no candles. There was like none of that. There was definitely no perfume. And so it was a thing that in high school, there was your Axe, Dark Temptation, maybe laying around my high school bedroom. But then in college, I started to have this interest in, I want to have a smell. Mm-hmm. I want to have a smell. And like food, like speaking of food smells, certain food smells like hot oil like really bothered me. And I was not able to be intentional with my smells, but I wanted to do something. So I was like into yoga and burning a lot of incense. And of course, Palo Santo was a part of the thing. And then I found one and I wore that for like many years. And then over the pandemic, it sort of, the smell thing just really got out of control. I, like many people, I went home and I was listening to a lot of music because I was doing my master's degree in jazz saxophone. And I was at home, my mom was cooking, and I was just like, what is smell? And it was a really open-ended query that I followed. And so it first had me looking at different fragrances, and then I started researching more, and then I got into different brands, and then I moved to New York. And shortly after that, I just started thinking that maybe I could try. Yeah.
That's so cool. So it was birthed out of the pandemic then, and rethinking your own relationship to fragrance.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm like a big YouTube university type of person. So I was watching fragrance reviews, and a big part of that was also your guys' podcast and listening to you guys talk about smell, and it's terrible to think about the lockdown, but every night my family, we'd go on a walk and they'd be like, okay, what new smells did you learn about today? And I was like, there was a descriptor called animalic, and everyone was like, oh, you're gross. Everyone was weirded out by it. And I couldn't shake it. I was so fascinated with smell. It felt like I'm a very sensory type of person when it comes to sound with music, taste with food. And then smell is just this untouched frontier. I didn't understand it. And I can't say that I fully understand it now, but I'm getting closer.
I had no idea perfumer was a job, let alone a craft or a study. It just didn't occur to me since I was a child. And then I think maybe it was like around the time, I feel, in college when essential oils were like big or getting big, and people were buying those Nemet oils from Whole Foods and wearing them as personal scent. And then I was like, what if you just buy a bunch of essential oils and mix them together and make perfume? And I tried that and it was fucking awesome. I was like, clearly it can't be done.
In a crazy way, that's what it is, more or less. Importantly, I will say I started teaching myself how to make perfume, and I did that for about a year. And then I started an apprenticeship with another independent perfumer, Michael Nordstrand, out in New Jersey. And through him, I've really been able to, I feel like I'm not a self-trained perfumer. Mm-hmm. I can't claim to be that. I definitely like there's training and a lot of hard work there.
How long were you doing it yourself before you then wanted to not seek professional help, but like to take it to the next level and start that apprenticeship and really take it to that seriously in that way?
Yeah. So one of my friends one day was just like, she has a degree in law, but hasn't set the bar. And she was like, I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. I was like, what do you want to do? And she said, I want to do fragrance marketing. And this is at the time I had made like a couple really bad things, but I was just like, you should market. We have a brand. And we just kept saying to each other that we have a brand, until one of her friends was, hey, I'd love you guys to make a perfume for me. And then we got another client, and before I knew it, it was like time to actually know what I was talking about. And I took a class with Michael at the Institute for Art and Olfaction. And then I booked a consultation with him, and we came to the consultation with so many questions. And at the end, he casually mentioned, he said, come out to the studio sometime. I have a lot of materials in case you're interested in smelling anything. And I was like, I will be free labor. I'll do whatever you want in the realm of perfume. For just say the word and I'm there. And he then said that he was looking for another assistant. He could use some help around the studio. And I think that consultation was on a Wednesday. And that Friday, I was at his studio taking my like, quote unquote, entrance exam.
Wow. That's so cool.
I'm picturing like the Sorcerer's Apprentice with Fantasia, with the Mickey Mouse, with the wizard hat. Obviously, it's not like that. But when you were explaining that to me, I was like, wow. He's an apprentice. You're an apprentice.
I am not an apprentice.
Yeah.
I am an apprentice, and I'm also a perfumer. Right, it's funny because there's a materials supplier for perfume stuff that's called the Perfumer's Apprentice. I guess I am the embodied perfumer's apprentice, but I'm an apprentice to Michael. And then I also, sheepishly, I'd say I'm a perfumer as well.
You're definitely a perfumer. You have literally created perfumes.
I'd say so. Yes, I have definitely created perfumes.
Yes. You could be both.
Yeah.
Like you're always learning in life.
Yeah, I think one of the big keys in perfume is to just keep, for me in my whole life, I'd say, is to just keep learning and be curious. I'm happy to be an apprentice for life.
That's before you went down the perfumery rabbit hole, what other career paths were you going on?
Yeah, I still am. I'm a jazz musician. I'm a jazz saxophonist. I play gigs, and I'll play weddings. I'll play anyone's wedding. I'll be there. I'll be ready to shred. I have been a music teacher in the past. I help run a good summer camp for music with private lessons.
Cool.
Yeah, I've done a lot of music. I have 2 degrees in music. I still do. I write music. My girlfriend is a dancer and we work together. And nice. catch me around at Brooklyn playing saxophone. So that's
so cool. You're everywhere.
I am everywhere. The music stuff is still happening, but I cannot shake the obsession and the pursuit of smell. So I just have to follow my heart in a lot of ways. And if the music stuff picks up, then I'm going to do a lot of music. If the perfume stuff keeps going, I certainly have a bunch of ideas for things that I want to develop and work on. And I'm living a sometimes confusing dual existence, but I think I'm making it work.
I feel like a lot of people who are musicians or performers or like creatives, they're so much more open to exploring other paths, either simultaneously or just like totally pivoting. What you're telling me reminds me so much of just all of my musician friends that they have 3 jobs. And it's almost like they have them to balance out their creative life and professional life, because to just do one thing feels like way too siloed.
Yeah. And I feel really fortunate. I could be doing a lot of silly remedial work, and I'm really not. And music is hard. So is perfume. But yeah, perfume is, I'm working for it and it's working for me right now.
I love that. It is working for you.
And there's a lot of overlap with music and perfume compositionally and the lingo.
Oh, yeah. And there's also so many musicians, so many perfumers who are also musicians. Mm-hmm. And even more than that, as art forms, they're kind of sisters. Mm-hmm. You have your notes, you have your chords, you have your notes in music, and you have your chords in music. There's a lot of similar, both are fairly synesthetic in a sense that you describe smell with things from other senses like color. Obviously, like before I was mentioning, this fragrance is very green. Things are green that have smells, we can call it, or like soft and chewy. These are all like words that we can also describe sound with. So they're holding hands and hugging.
I love that. I feel like since fragrance is invisible and also so personal, it can be malleable to whatever you're trying to liken it to. Our last episode, we likened fragrance to lube, and it was, yeah, LOL. But we also weren't bullshitting. Like, when I said those parallels, I fucking meant it. So it's like, yes, fragrance can be like lube. Fragrance can be like music. So some parallels are maybe further apart than others, but it is one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I feel like it can be pushed and pulled and shapeshift into many different things, because people love fragrance, and love is also transient. Anyway, so Joey, when you started off, we are interested to know what you envisioned yourself creating, and if that has come true, or if it has grown as an idea. Like, where did you see yourself going in fragrance?
I have really taken it like one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And now I'm maybe, I'd say like almost 2 years pretty deep in it. At least definitely a year and a half where I've been like, we're really going deep on fragrance. At the beginning, I didn't really have an idea. And it's hard to be an independent perfumer because there's not really a roadmap for what you can do. So there's a lot of independent perfumers around that will start their own brand and release a few fragrances and grow their perfumer thing that way. I've been lucky, and it's been a pressure cooker, because I have taken another approach to work for other people, whether it be Sable or other brands that want a fragrance. I have to explain to my friends and family that I'm like the designer, but not the builder. So I can design. I'm a designer of smell, and I'll design your, that's what a perfumer does. But so many times, like, a perfumer is also the person in charge of doing the packaging, the bottling, the independent perfumers. They're also like one man or woman managing like wholesale and all of these things. And I'm not doing that. I'm really just focusing on the design of it. So I didn't really have a vision at first, but now I definitely want to continue to build things for other people, and then hopefully at some point down the line have a nice small brand of my own.
I want to know what you've got cooking for your own brand, but I'm sure you're not trying to blow up your spot.
I know some of it, and I'm like, I can't We're not allowed to say. We're under NDA.
We're not allowed to say.
You're under NDA. So like,
yeah.
And out of respect and extension, also under NDA.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I have heard. Yeah. I'm not under NDA. I'll say it.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding, but I do want that episode. I won't say.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're fucking pushing out here.
Yeah.
Like what?
You guys, when that happens, you guys can, I'll let you announce it to the world. There's big, to anyone listening, there's cool big things coming.
Yeah. DJ that voice. I've done for, big things coming.
Yeah. Should I turn up my game? Big things coming.
As you were saying, as an independent perfumer, I know that I parallel it to, I'm a freelancer. I used to be an editor at a media outlet, and you're an independent perfumer, and then there are also perfumers who work for perfume houses. What do you think are like the types of like constraints or the challenges that independent perfumers have that like the house perfumers, what do you call them, the house perfumers?
Yeah,
that they don't. And then what are like the benefits to being independent?
Yeah. So like a lot of there are definitely benefits to being independent, and there are definitely benefits to being at a big house. At a big house, a lot of those perfumers have gone to perfume school. And I don't think like being an independent perfumer or like a perfumer working for a large company, I don't think one is holier than the other. I think that it's like an ecosystem. There is a perfumer ecosystem that happens. And I think one can't really, I was about to say one can't survive without the other, but big perfumers at big houses would definitely survive without independent perfumers. But
it wouldn't be nearly as fun.
I'd like to think not. At a big house, some of the cool things I think of some of my friends that are perfumers there, they obviously get to work with many perfumers, which I think as an independent perfumer, you really have to go out of your way to do. And that community, going to work and being around other people, is a big part. Sometimes being an independent perfumer can feel like being on small island. Mm. And sometimes it even degrades to stink island, where you're like, I cannot get this thing to smell right. And there's no one. I'm lucky to have Michael, but when I get really stuck, I know other perfumers, it's just, you're just beating your nose against a wall. And then also at big houses, they have so much access to materials and beautiful captive materials and like fresh stuff, and your inventory is taken care of. There's a lot of good things, but also you don't get some of the downsides. In my head is really quick turnaround times. The budgets there are very strict from my understanding. And for me, it's, unless someone says, hey, we can't spend more than $150 a kilo on this, I have free rein to dose whatever material in whatever quantity I want, which is really liberating, that I don't have to have such a worry about, look, I can't use real rose because it's going to blow the price out. And that's always, when I talk to perfumers at big houses, they know the price of every single material that they're using, and they're pricing things out. And it's such a huge preoccupation of their mind, where I'm like, yeah, let's make it 60% of this. Let's just go crazy with one thing or dose something. Being an independent perfumer, I can dose things in ways that I want. I can use whatever materials I want. It's a little bit more free for all when it comes to designing smells.
That's crazy to me.
And also, I could just do weird stuff that you can't do for a big, like Bed Bath & Beyond isn't going to buy like something that smells like a fuzzy urinal cake. But if I wanted to do that for some god-awful reason, I could. Yeah.
A question Sable asks a lot, and I find it fascinating, is, and they're usually to bigger brands, but what does the brief look like? And what do you ideate off of? Is it like a written brief? Is it a mood board? Are you a visual person? Seeing as you are the boss, are you creating these briefs or vision boards or whatever? Are you supplied with them? Is it a collaboration? Yeah. I would just love to know what your inspiration looks like and starts off as.
Yeah, particularly in this case, it's a dream situation because Sable literally came in with a bag of benchmarks and was like, this, I like all these, and I want these to be my notes. Yeah. And it was cool. It was like a material forward type of formulation. And in a lot of ways, when I have someone like Sable or another client that really knows perfume well, there's an understanding of what works and what doesn't, which makes things really easy. Like Sable, you never asked for, hey, I need citrus note. Can we make the grapefruit last until the dry down? It's like,
that's just not
that's
how grapefruit
happens. So
you can't hire a grapefruit for that.
Yeah, but that's, you can't pay it. You can't hire that. But other clients, sometimes someone just likes a certain note and it's not so helpful for me to have a brief that's super note heavy or material focused when the inspiration really needs to be somewhere else. For example, the market as of right now that I did was for the Oenological Society of New York, the Watchmaking Society. And they came to me and they're like, we want to do a fragrance. We don't have the clearest idea of what it to smell, but they knew that they wanted like a roasted nut, like a praline note, one of those hot nut carts. And so I'm also like a very research oriented type of artist. So I went really deep on watches and I took one of their watchmaking classes. And through that, I pieced together, this should be an amber perfume. It should be old school. It's called 1866. It should be. And the idea was because a lot of watchmaking horology came from Switzerland. I had this idea, like it was like a tagline that I just kept saying in my head as I was formulating. It's like from the Swiss Alps to the city streets. And so the top note is this like cold alpine air thing. It's got this like cooling quality and then it dries down then through citruses. And then it gets to this like watch band leather, the praline accord. And it dries to be this like very nice. I think it's a very nice amber.
I smelled it and I thought it was like a kind of an updated, like classic men's cologne, but a very modern take on it.
Yeah, like something manly, classic, but let's give it a twist that feels fun and approachable, not something that's going to blow out a room when you go to your watch event. So I think for me, I love the briefs that are really offer some sort of exploration for me and ask more questions than providing the answers. This is just for like most clients. Again, like with you, it was so easy because it was like, I want Oris and this and that. And that's really fun to build that way when it feels like it should already exist.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, the fragrance will reveal itself through a lot of research. And I don't know, research is big to me.
Yeah.
Like finding the themes and the things around the perfume, the ephemera and the sort of the world building. World building. Yeah.
There it is.
I feel like what I did by basically bringing you notes of things, it could probably go either way too. If someone is like, I really like these notes, but they're so seemingly incompatible. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. Like good perfume, good fragrances have tension. Like you need to have tension in them or else they smell flat. So Sable, like in Die Hard, there is a lot of tension between the bitter green part of like little trace rhubarby materials and the grapefruit things. There's tension between sort of the juicier plum parts and those higher sort of sparkling. And then like this, the, as you call it, the evil sweetness, that's providing this contrast. There has to be shadows with everything. There's also like a lot of patchouli in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there has to be tension.
Yeah, when you said plum to me, my initial instinct, because I'm not like a fruity scent person, I was like, bleh. But then I was like, I'm gonna trust the process. I'm gonna just assume it's there for good reason.
Yeah,
it's funny, when I was smelling the mods, I think I had 4 Sable that you showed me, maybe 3, but I think when you showed me the one you ran with, I was like, now, what the fuck is that? And you were like, it's plum. And but it does really change it. I don't know. As soon as I smelled this one, I was like, I don't know what you did, but I think this is it.
Yeah.
The final one, weirdly, is out of the herd of 20-something mods that I did. It is truly the only one like it.
Yes.
I had a wild idea to just add sweet orange and some other sweet parts to just, I don't know, glam it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And the second you smelled it, it was like, oh, there she is. Let's go.
Yeah. I remember the last smelling session we had, there was like so many mods. There was probably a dozen mods in front of me. And we were like chatting and spraying blotters. And then as we were chatting, I just kept re-smelling the blotters. And then the mod that we went with, the second time I smelled it after it had settled for 5-10 minutes, I was like, wait, it's doing something. It's her. She's arrived.
Yeah. 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 It was crazy too. When I made that one, I was so angry at it because it was so sweet. And I was like, I've created a monster. It's so sweet and juicy. And I didn't like the other ones were like these really dark, leathery, weird green things. And I was like, this is, I found my style. This is it. This is the final boss of smell. And then you smelled the sweet thing and you were like, this is it. And I have so grown to love it. And it's so hard when you're going from mod to mod and you're building this thing and then you do one thing and it's way different to accept that the weird one as, oh, this is actually a great thing.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you said. It had the right amount of tension in it.
Yeah, I'm obsessed totally. With it. There's just something about it that we talked about it at length many times. And it is, to me, and I'm too close to the process to like have an objective opinion, of course, or subjective. I don't fucking know. But it is exactly what Sable kept talking about conceptually, but it also smells to me exactly like a fragrance that Sable would make. I smelled a bunch of the mods and then once, I don't know, I've been wearing it since she gave it to me on Saturday and it's, yeah, this is Sable's. It's just her full like ethos and brand and look are so well encapsulated in this scent that I'm like, well, yeah, you know?
Yeah. How was it to go through the whole process? Did you... What was it like for you?
I think because I had brought in a ton of samples that kind of demonstrated the notes I like and what I like about them, it was really hard to mentally try and mash them together and be like, oh, it would smell like this if I just mix these potions together. It's like the same thing, the way people talk about perfume, they can say it has jasmine, it has patchouli, but like, you don't know what that fucking smells like unless you smell it. So for me, yeah. I can't say it was what I expected, but I was pleased with every mod. And I thought it was like very interesting. And obviously, because this is a collaborative exercise, I'm also not expecting you to read my mind and be like, why doesn't this smell like Byredo Animalic? That's like such a hack move to just like create a scent that already exists and put your name on it. But I was actually really curious what you would do with it. Because I feel like we have similar tastes with fragrance. So I was like, he's going to know what I'm talking about when I explain what I like about leather or what I like about violet or orris. And just the way it came together was surprising, but exciting because it's almost like if you've ever been set up on a date with a friend and they're like, I met the perfect person for you. You guys are so alike. You're going to love this about them. And then you meet them already expecting to like them based on what your friend said. So it's exciting in that way.
Definitely.
But I think what you've created exceeded what I thought it would be. So I'm thrilled with it. And I'm also thrilled that other people get it. I've worn it several times whenever I left my house and I knew I'd be seeing a lot of people. And like every fucking time, at least like a handful of people would be like, oh my God, you smell amazing. What are you wearing?
That's music to my ears.
So since then, I'm like, that's the ones.
I love a good pat on the back too. So that don't go too much longer. But
I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this with everyone in the room. I don't know if it's uncouth, but Joey, I am interested to know what's it like working with Sable. But when Sable approached you, what was that like when she brought you the idea and was like, "Hey, do you want to do this together?" And then going forward, like maybe not every step of the process. I know it wasn't a short process, but what was like the kickoff and how did you approach then her idea and bringing that to life? I know that she brought a bunch of benchmarks and a lot of like really strong concepts, but what was it like on your end?
Oh, like I said before, it was great. I was stoked to, I was stoked because I'm such a huge fan of Smell You Later. And I feel like, what is it? The parasocial relationship. It's crazy to go from like listening to a podcast and then meeting Sable and actually getting my nose on like these things that it's like, these are the ones that I love. I found them on eBay. I found them at Byredo or found them wherever. These are the ones that, the things that I've been hearing about or going out and smelling myself, but like in situ. So it felt, it was easy. It's not easy to make a perfume.
Yeah.
But it's easy to work with someone that has a very clear vision of what they want. Mm-hmm. And then also like the openness to be like, actually, I want this, like, you can screw around with it and put a giant plum accord in the center of it. And that's fine too. Am I answering the question? Is that?
Yeah, okay. No, totally. I was an innocent bystander this entire time. And this idea of my best friend making a legitimate perfume is so cool to me. And I just want to, I'm nosy. Okay. But wait, have we,
you know,
I don't want, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The other thing that so part of what me and my business partner do is also like project manage. So in addition to getting the smell together, you have to have your packaging a certain way. You have to have regulation. You have to source bottles. And that is like a huge part of it. And there was like at least every other week I was giving Sable a call. I was like, are we good? Did you order bottles
I know.
Yet? Like,
do
we have the atomizers?
I need that. I need a nudge or something slightly more aggressive than a nudge because my brain is not geared towards long-term operations.
Yeah. And putting together the full package takes a long time.
Yeah.
It's
exciting.
Like a lot of
yeah.
like little, it's so many little victories.
So many little things like I didn't even think about. Like you have to not just get the bottle, but then you have to get the cap separately. Then you have to get the atomizer separately and then the cartons. Uh-huh. And I'm like, wait, why is every single goddamn thing a new person I have to talk to?
Yeah. And don't forget about the collars.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The collars. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many little and the atomizer has to attach you a certain way. Going back to what's the difference between an independent perfumer and a perfumer at a big company, they're not thinking about what size the collar is and what size the neck and what style attachment or at least I don't think they are. That's usually like the client's problem. But as an independent perfumer, you have to be on board to figure out how to do packaging.
Yeah. And that was really helpful just because you let me know all the things I had to look into. And I was like, wait, what? Because if you were just like, here's your juice.
Yeah.
I would have been like, what do I do with it?
Yeah. I have 4 gallons of perfume now. What?
Not to state the obvious, but I feel like we've talked so much. Maybe Sable and I have talked so much about the perfume, but a lot of the really juicy details have been off the mic. But are we allowed to say what the fuck is in it?
Yeah, this is the episode.
This is the time. Okay. I know more of the concept and we said that there's plum, but
even I'm not 100% on all of the notes. And maybe that's not even important as somebody who like, I don't even technically really want to define fragrances just by their like list of notes because it's sometimes I feel like things influence the way you think about a scent, even if it's not that impactful. So that's why I'm not really like a note heavy reader, but I also think it's just cool to know what is actually in it.
Should I do the honors? Do you want to do the honors?
I don't know. I'm just like, it smelled good. Okay.
Okay. So to me, in my ideation and design, Die Hot with a Vengeance opens with sparkling grapefruit and sweet orange. There's rhubarb there. Then in the heart, there's like this plum. There's a plum accord. And then I'm not going to say there's a plum accord. I'm going to say there's plum. In the heart, there's plum.
Okay.
There's a little bit of orris. There is touches of leather, patchouli, musk, and like your wood, like wood that you have in a bunch of perfume, like wood. There's a woody smell to it. It doesn't change too much over time. I'd say that it really like the thing that it does change, but there's like this sweetness that isn't really in the notes, I'd say, that doesn't, it's just like this sweet treatment of all of those notes.
Yeah. Even with you telling me that and even all of the mods that I've smelled and like the several times I've worn the final mod, I get a little bit of like the juice from a maraschino cherry. I get cigarette ash. Yep. I get suede. I get lipstick. Mm-hmm. I get all of these things that like I just glanced at the Excel sheet of your formula, but there were like 100 ingredients. I don't know. There were a lot. It looked like a lot. So I'm like, I'm sure amid that, all of those amalgamations.
Insane.
Yeah. All of those amalgamations are going to give you a lot more than what you just said, because you can tell me that. And I was like, you were like, it opens with grapefruit. I'm like, no, it doesn't. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Sable. I'm with you. I've been wearing it and it's all of those things. I think we were texting about it. It does just smell exactly like you were describing it conceptually. A burnt out cigarette at the bottom of a Balenciaga bag with some old lipstick. And there's definitely that maraschino cherry to it, even if it's not that. It smells very, we keep saying sweet. And yes, there is like an undeniable sweetness to it, but it's, I don't know. I'm going to talk about it at the beginning of the episode, I'm sure, but there's also a lot of like leather and char to it. It smells like the evil version of Kaali Sweet Diamond Pink Pepper, because there is so much like to that. There's so much like rubber and fucking tire tread and sweet and like big, bright, sugary sweetness to it. And this is like leather and smoke and maybe artificial fruit.
Yeah. I do get like a almost lectonic vinyl kind of something from it.
You guys are smelling stuff that I can't say that I tried to put in the sauce.
Well, and I even texted her on Monday morning and I was like, I think this dries down a little bit like red velvety on me, at least. Like it does have, after a long time, like a chocolatiness to it.
Yeah.
It's great.
That comes from interactions between patchouli and in a lot of situations, like you add the right stuff to it and it starts reading cacao and not chocolate, but cacao.
That's so cool. Yeah, it definitely pulls up and pulls through after a couple hours on the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. I do feel like it doesn't morph too much throughout the wear for me. I thought that there was like amber or ambrette at the bottom somewhere. I think, if anything, that's what I get a little bit in the dry down.
Yeah, you can. Oh my God, people are going to buy it and see the note listings on the website or wherever, and they're going to be like,
I'm not writing notes. They're not.
Oh, you're not writing notes?
They're not. No, I'm writing vibes. I'm not writing notes.
Vibes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. I'm writing all the
vibes
stuff we
only.
Said.
No notes.
But no notes.
Yeah. It's a puzzle. You have to figure it out for yourself. Vibes only. Okay. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I would say that if anything, Die Hot with a Vengeance, the book is about having fun. And I think that this perfume is fun. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
And I think it's also glam. It's dressed up and ready to fuck around and find out.
Definitely. I don't want to say it's singularly a going out scent, but maybe it's just because I've only wore it when I've been going out that my brain is going there. I think it's a very successful going out scent, but I also think you could wear it in other contexts. I feel like when I explain it to people, I try and make like a persona out of it. I call it an evil, wealthy woman's stolen Birkin bag that she spilled red wine in and smeared lipstick on. And even then I'm like, do I like that? I don't know if I like that, but I do feel like visually that's where I was going.
I think you both nailed it, quite honestly. Yeah.
It's a morally ambiguous main character scent. I will say that.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Morally ambiguous is, honestly, I should become a little bit more morally ambiguous. I think I could use a dose of that sort of debility.
Yeah. There's like the penchant that because it's like our creation and because it's like my idea that I'm protective over it and I'm obviously biased and I want it to be like good, quote unquote, whatever that means. But in the end, I'm just like, no, it just is what it is. And you just have to let it be interpreted when you create anything like art or music or a product.
Yeah.
When it's out in the world, it doesn't belong to you anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's great.
Yeah. It's so funny because my friends who are a lot of them musicians have seen me take this interest in smell and really go down the rabbit hole. They say more recently when they smell my things, they're like, oh, this is actually good. I'm like, yeah, no,
not
I
the
know.
Actually.
I know the actually is always fucking in.
They give me the actually, and I'm like, guys, I do this, but no, it is actually good. It's actually evil. It's actually morally ambiguous.
Yes.
And
it's the
and actually bottled by hand and with love.
Yes,
know?
We bottled it together by hand in Joey's studio. So this is truly labor of love, even though I hate to labor.
This is, I feel like we covered so much in so little time, honestly. We've been talking about this episode, Joey, for at least 6 months. So I'm really happy that we could finally pull it off. So happy that you could join us tonight. And thank you for the transparency and all the fun behind the scenes details. Yeah. I'm so happy to be wearing it. I'm so happy it's almost out. And I'm so happy that you could join us to chat about it.
Yeah. Sable, are you going to make an announcement for the party, the book? At Stell?
Yes. We're going to do a little perfume launch event at Stell in Williamsburg on July 17th.
Oh, sick.
We just nailed it down, so we're figuring out details, but
It's
going to be great.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And I'm really appreciative of Stell of A, being interested in this, like wanting to host an event, carrying the perfume, because that way there's like a place people can go to smell it, which is great.
I love that. She's in store.
Yeah. If you are in New York City, specifically Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. Scoop it up.
Yeah.
Come say hi.
Joey, thank you again so much for joining us. I can't wait for more people to smell it. I can't wait for the perfume launch event because I love to go out. And I'm sure this will not be the last time that we connect, both on and off the mic. So thank you again.
This is like a full circle moment for me.
I know.
You guys are like, I feel honored in so many ways. So much of my perfume education has been on Smell You Later. And my early interest, you guys totally stoked the flames between you and Diaz and Durga. It was like, that was a lot of my fragrant foundation.
Oh,
so it's like such an honor
to
share the pod.
Wow, this really is the perfume that this podcast built.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
A title of the
And
episode.
Next we'll do a Smell You Later perfume.
Dude. We've been talking about that for ages.
Yeah. Let's do it. Tynan, you haven't given me any benchmarks, but I know the shit that you fuck with. And
you do. Everyone does.
Like, yeah, I made a vanilla perfume for my 13-year-old cousin for her bat mitzvah. And it's like vanilla coconut. And when I was making it, I was like, I know someone. But it has a coffee. It has a coffee thing that's like this roasted, toasted like coffee, and there's also Cipriol in there, so it's a little bit like, it's like super dry. It feels like toasted coconut shavings and vanilla cupcake.
Oh my god, yes.
Well, there's the Tynan scent.
Yeah.
Done. Done.
Send it.
Send it. Approved. But
yeah. Smell you later. Smell you later. Smell.
To be continued. Part one.
To be continued.
Part one.
This episode.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
And there it is.
There it is. I am so thrilled to be doing an event at Stell. And it's so cool that there is an independent perfume boutique in my neighborhood, Williamsburg.
Is it all perfume?
It's a lot of perfumes. They also have a lot of really niche, hard to find brands.
Sick. I just heard about them. I know Emma was excited about them. So I got to get over there. It's like in between us.
It's funny because like I walked past the shop several times, always after it's closed. And like it's like dark in there. So I'm like, what is this? I don't think it says, or at least I don't remember seeing like outright like fragrance boutique. I don't think it says that. But I think when I like peeped into the dark windows, I was like, it looks like they have perfume. I should come back here. And of course, because my brain is a goldfish, I was like, whoop. I forget about it until the next time I'm walking past it. Then I'm like, damn, I meant to go in there when they're open.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that'll be fun. And I'm mostly glad that there's like a physical place where people can go smell the perfume because I am not doing samples. Hell no.
Speaking of events, do you want to plug your book launch event?
Okay. So the book launch event will be next Tuesday.
I am your manager.
You really? Today, like my lit agent in my email was like, can you promote the event, please? And I was like, oh, sorry. I'm doing a little panel discussion that I have cheekily named The State of Hotness 2024.
Yes.
It will be at Peoplehood in New York City. I think it's around the Union Square area. July 9th. What time is it? I literally just made a flyer and I don't remember.
It's 7 p.m.
It is at 7 p.m. We'll post a ticket link on the Smell You Later account.
Yes,
but I also posted on my personal Instagram. And I would love to tell you what will happen at the event, but I don't know yet because I haven't made my PowerPoint presentation yet.
Oh my God. Okay. Not a great sell.
Okay. We are recording this before it comes out. So by the time this comes out, things will be more ironed out. So then TBD on that.
You're going to eat that PowerPoint. I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
I know how you get with ethics and shit like that.
I love a PowerPoint. They're so
fun. I know
fun.
You do. I know you do.
I was tempted to, I like unearthed the PowerPoint presentation I made for my book proposal. And I was like tempted to show that. And mind you, that is not how I got my book deal. That was just like an addendum I made for fun. But maybe I should do that. I don't know.
It'd be fun to show a little bit of that.
Yeah, and, like, yeah. I think maybe I'll like swap some slides from there onto the new one. But it will be fun, I hope. And there will be books there. There will be refreshments. I will be there, obviously. You will be there.
I will be there.
I'm having t-shirts made that I can't sell legally because I don't own the rights to the design. So those will be there for Slack.
When has that ever stopped you? When have you ever gave a shit about legalities?
When I'm not contractually tied to a huge litigious company.
That's true. Fair.
Yeah. I wanted to make, so that's another thing that, again, I was like, it's a tax write-off, but yeah. I'm having really dope t-shirts made. I'm also having like really cool t-shirts made by friend of the pod, Julia.
Let's go.
That I will be able to sell. So like you will be able to get those because they're an original design. Not one that was.
Buy those too. We're making you a list.
Yeah.
Perfume t-shirt.
Yes. It's not asking too much, right? But yeah, I literally, before we were recording this, was just like shooting the bottles. And it was like, honestly, bringing me back to Exo Vein days when we did our little like product photo shoots.
Yeah.
I also had to fix my own camera lens somehow.
Oh God.
That was extremely fraught, but right. It works. We're in business. Great. So hooray.
Amazing.
Oh my God.
Is it thunderstorming around you right now?
It is thunderstorming right now. It like just started. I was like, what the heck?
Lots to look forward to.
Lots to look forward to. Lots to pre-order. We'll have links ready by the time this goes live, God willing.
Yes. Yes.
Please go to our website, smellulator.live. You'll find merch. You'll find our hotline. Follow us on Instagram. We're at smellulator.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.